You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. Time for Amanda Hall Psychic with Amanda Hall. Live from AmandaHallPsychic.com.au. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Psychic Radio.
Or one of our websites,
AskOneRadio.com or Moonstruck.tv. This is Amanda the Hall site on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Welcome to A1R Psychic Radio here on Moonstruck TV with Amanda Hall, psychic, all the way from the Gold Coast here in Australia. Well, it's a beautiful crisp winter's morning here and the sun's shining finally at last. We seem to have always had overcast or rainy sort of weather for the last couple of months, which is unseasonal for us at this time of the year. But look, who's complaining? I live in paradise, and I hope wherever you are that you feel like you live in paradise too, because it's important to feel comfortable and feel safe in our environment and our surroundings and enjoy the local environment that we live in, because we all choose to live in different parts of the world for different reasons. And, you know, some people like to be near the beach, some people like to be near a lake, some like to be in the mountains, and some like to be out in the open spaces, out in the prairies, as you call them. We call it the outback here. And it's sort of like it's a personal choice of where you feel most comfortable, where you feel that that's your place to call home. Anyway, this week, the Simply Tarot card of the week has got nothing to do with home. It's got to do with the Four of Cups, which is money fluctuations or being offered something that you may or may not want. Now, it's a really ambiguous card in that sort of way, because a lot of people look at it and say, well, he's sitting under the tree, he's got his arms folded, someone's offering him a cup, and he's sort of sitting there saying, well, look, I've got three in front of me, I don't know whether I really want that one. So it can be that way in your life. Sometimes you're offered things that you may not be ready for or may not really feel that are necessary, or something that you've been aspiring to achieve. And the money fluctuations, I mean, look, we can all have those. It doesn't necessarily mean a shortage of money. It just means money going up and down a little bit like a yo-yo. And I'm sure there's lots of households around the world that experience that on a daily basis. And it's sometimes difficult to try and keep hold of things like that. That when you've got money, you know, going up and down like a yo-yo, it's very hard to budget or keep control of things and sort of know exactly where the money's sort of going. So maybe this is a card of sort of saying get your budgeting in hand too, you know, like get a handle on where your money's going. You know, sometimes we, I think, tend to forget and don't document where our spending's going. And once you look at it on paper or in the computer, in your laptop, you see then where that you can maybe cut back if you're finding it a little bit of a struggle at the moment to sort of keep on top of everything. But this is a card of positivity too, because, you know, you may be offered something that you may not want. You may be offered a new job. You may be offered a new opportunity. And you're sitting there and saying, thank you very much, but I'm okay. I'm really doing well with my life. I'm really happy with where things are. So don't always look at this card as a negative. Look at it sometimes as being in a position to say no, that, you know, everything's great in my world and that's not what's needed in my life at this point. But it's always nice to be offered something that you may want to turn down. So astrologically this week, we're still in the Cancer time of the year. Happy birthday to all the Cancerians around the world. And look, there's lots of them. And, you know, very, very famous people were born under the sign of Cancer, including my producer. So, you know, it's a very special sign because it's a very strong sign. Even though a lot of astrologers write it up as being sort of quite weak or sort of gentle, yes, they do have a gentle and a soft side, as we all do, but they also have a very hard side too, because you've got to think of a crab. And crab has a very hard exterior that, you know, it takes its home with it wherever it goes. And one of the first things I learned many moons ago when I first got into astrology was that a Cancer has to feel secure. Even if they're going on holidays, they like to take a few treasures or trinkets with them and make the place that they're staying, whether it's the Airbnb, the hotel, the, you know, the guest house or whatever, feel like home. And they put a couple of things out and then they go, oh, right, I'm at home now. I feel secure. So that's really important. So if you've got a Cancer coming to stay with you for the holidays or going on holidays with a Cancer, just be aware that they will need to make it feel like home because it's important to them. Now, we still have Mercury, the planet of communication, which is going retrograde or backwards at the moment until the 23rd of this month. So we've still got approximately 8 to 9 days before Mercury starts to move direct. And then we've got to allow 2 to 3 days for the momentum of Mercury to really sort of ramp up again. Why is this so important? When Mercury goes retrograde, it's the time when people do not have their listening ears on. They say, yes, 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 I'm listening, but they're not really listening. They're preoccupied thinking about something else. Their attention span is not there. So if you have to have an important meeting during this time, make sure that the other person is listening. Stop periodically and ask them to recap or refresh, or did you understand that? Is there anything else I can help you with? And quite often by being gentle in your approach with that, where they say, oh, I just missed that last bit. Well, no, they didn't just miss the last bit. They probably missed the whole lot of it, but maybe you can give them the headline package that they can sort of catch up. It's really important. It's not the time to send important parcels through the mail unless you absolutely have to, or letters. In these days, it's the time when technology breaks down, telcos go down, data goes missing, you know, your cell phone doesn't work anymore, your laptop decides to go on holidays without you, things like that. It's anything that's connected with communication is what a Mercury retrograde is about. And it's easy enough to work through it, but it happens 3 times a year for up to about 2.5 to 3 weeks at a time. So it's a time when we're being asked to sort of slow down, smell the roses, smell the coffee a little bit more. It's a time when we can do our best thinking in a lot of ways. And I've had a lot of people sort of that I've been working with since this Mercury retrograde began sort of saying to me, why is it that there's a lot of old stuff, old memories, old emotions, old things like that are coming to the surface? Well, the answer to that is because it's in Cancer. And because we feel secure and comfortable that we can go visit it or revisit some of this old stuff, it's like having a cleaning out of the closet. We're cleaning out your mind of emotions, of old stuff that's no longer serves us anymore, that's no longer useful to us. So it's important to allow that and to honour these things that as they're sort of coming in, and they may not be in any sort of order, they might be all jumbled together. And you sort of think, well, why do I think that 1 minute and something else and 30 seconds later and then something else and then something else? It's just the way that Mercury retrograde is working to clear these things out of your mind to make way for new memories and new things to be sort of locked away in the hard drive of your mind. So don't be too hard on yourself. Enjoy the trip down memory lane and look at what you learnt, what you gained from it, or how silly it might have been. Why did I remember that? Why did I retain that? Why did I lock that away? Who knows? But at the time it was important, and now it's the time for it to be aired again and released. We also have a stellium of planets which is sitting in Aries. Now, this is going to affect the fire signs, which is Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, and the opposite sign of Libra. So I want you to be really listening to this, and I also want you to be aware that this affects the remaining 8 signs as well, but maybe not quite as intensely as it's going to affect the fire signs. Saturn is the planet of discipline. Saturn is the father figure. Saturn's the one that dishes out the lessons, but he also gives you stickability. He gives you the ability to sort of see something through to the bitter end, that he gives you that determination, that drive to sort of say, this is really, really important and I'm going to achieve this no matter what. Even if it takes me longer than I expected, I will not run out of puff. I will continue to make sure this happens. Now, Saturn is holding hands or conjunct the moon. Now, the moon moves every, 2.5 days. It moves so quickly. So I quite often don't bring the moon into an astrological report because of that reason. But I felt this one was really important because at the moment, a lot of fire signs, and I've been working with a lot of fire signs in the last week, are really feeling quite restricted. It's like they thought they had a little bit of a growth spurt. Things were going to happen. Things were going to start to move. And then all of a sudden, it was like they hit a brick wall. Now, this could be why, because Saturn is asking you to deal with your emotions. Now, fire signs tend to skim over emotions because it's like it's not that important. We'll get to that tomorrow or next week or whenever. And it's only when a configuration like this comes along that stops stops them in their tracks, makes them sit there and look at it, and they don't have any other choice. And then you add that to what I've previously spoke about with Mercury retrograde in Cancer, it's sort of asking them that they've really got to sort of go through some of their past and really sort of hold the mirror up to them and say, okay, what do I need to learn out of this? What can I let go of? What are my emotions trying to tell me? What have I skimmed over in the past that really needs to be dealt with? And by doing this, the final part of the stellium is that it's conjunct, not a planet, but the part of fortune. Now, the part of fortune doesn't mean they're going to win the lottery or whatever, or the lotto. It means that there's opportunities that can come into their lives that are like something that's really important to them because they've cleared the past. And now that's why it's so important. Saturn's giving you the tools. He's giving you the opportunity here to sort of look at this in a logical, practical, down-to-earth, grown-up sort of manner, to deal with the emotions, to deal with the past, to deal with the past memories that are coming up. And by doing that and setting yourself free and working with the energy of Saturn in a very disciplined, grown-up sort of manner and dealing with all the emotions and the stuff from the past, we can then sort of catapult ourselves forward and move forward in a way and breaking sort of down some of the restrictions or the things that have been holding you back, whether they've been conscious or unconscious, they're able to now sort of move right out of the road, and you can start to bring in new opportunities, new joy into your life, new things that, you know, sort of have been hovering around the edges for such a long time that you couldn't see how you were ever going to manifest them or bring them forward. Well, now is that opportunity. So we're moving on to Uranus is conjunct Mars and it's sitting in Gemini. So this is going to be affecting the air signs, which is Gemini, Libra and Aquarius, and the opposite sign again of Sagittarius. So there's a little bit of emphasis there on the Saggy stuff this week and the fire sign stuff this week. So Uranus is the planet of the unusual and unexpected. It's like a bolt of lightning. It can strike out of nowhere. So Uranus has only just started its long trek through Gemini, which will be there for approximately 8 years. So it's going to have a long time here where it's going to be stirring things up. It's going to be sort of asking particularly the air signs to sort of think outside the square, to do something different. Be very, very careful what you wish for. Be extremely careful what you verbalize and put out to the universe, because the universe is listening. And the universe doesn't sit there and filter anything. It says, oh, you said you hate your job. Good, we'll get rid of it. And you were only saying that out of anger for the moment. You didn't really mean it. So you need to be very, very careful in how you handle your verbal communication, particularly if you're a Gemini at the moment. And, you know, and it's conjunct Mars. Now, Mars is the planet of action. It's the planet that gets you out of bed, gets you up off the couch and says, right, let's do this. Let's do something constructive. So it's a positive time in a sense for the air signs, because it means you can create things out of nowhere. You can sort of have a thought bubble and turn it into something that could really be quite beneficial and sort of maybe change the course and direction of your life. But make sure that it's what you really want. Don't just sort of go with it because it's the first thought that's come into your head. Thoughts are great. Don't get me wrong. But we need to back them up with a plan of action or sort of see whether it's really sustainable. Yes, we have the opportunity to explore things, but don't sort of send it out to the universe that that's the fait accompli, that's exactly what you want, unless it really is what you want. You know, you have the ability to be flexible like a Gemini and flip from one thing to another and have lots of great ideas. And maybe the message here is too, is to look more locally. Don't start sort of spreading yourself too thin and looking at horizons that are out of reach at the moment or on the other side of the world or on the other side of the city. Maybe focus your energy more in your own local little niche community, because maybe that's where the answers lie, you know, that there's opportunities or things that can start there that can then be expanded out. But it's a time to sort of really center yourself in your own local community and get to know what's going on your own back door. Because sometimes I think we're too busy focused on what's happening in other parts of the country or other parts of the world that we forget to look at the beauty and the things that are going on right in our own local environment, which are incredibly important too, and sometimes even more important than what's taking place in the bigger part of the world. So it's really important that you focus on those things, particularly if you're an air sign. I know we haven't covered anything about the earth signs, but look, everything in their lives is, you know, is related relating to what I've been talking about anyway, because when I talk about a particular four signs, it then washes over the remaining eight signs anyway. So we've got Jupiter's just moved into Leo. This is going to be, Jupiter's going to be here for approximately about another 8 or 9 months. So it's a time when Leos can really get out there, strut their stuff, show the world what they're made of. Yes, it's flowing over to the other fire signs, which is Leo, Sagittarius and Aries, and the opposite sign of Aquarius. So it's really sort of interesting that we need to be sort of aware that Aquarians have been doing it tough for a while too, because Pluto's in there transforming things and will be there for a very long time. So it's almost like, you know, they get a little bit of momentum going and then somebody pulls the plug and the air goes out of their balloon and they've got to start again. But this is all part of the journey with Pluto. So it's nice to be able to sort of say there's a little bit of a reprieve there, that if you want to get some new things off the ground, work with the energy of Jupiter, because it's really important that you can start to sort of get things sort of moving and moving in a very positive way. So it's a good time to get out there and start new projects, to sort of get people to take notice of you, because anytime a planet's sitting in Leo, it's like we've got the center stage, we've got the world looking at us. So make sure that you don't waste that energy. So that's where we're going to leave the astrology now till next week. We're going to talk with Andrea in Ashburn in Virginia. Are you there, Andrea?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Andrea. Do you have a question I can answer for you, please, sweetie?
I'm taking a trip to Italy next month. I don't know. Do you see some sort of romantic connection possibly from my vacation?
Well, congratulations, going on a trip to Italy. That sounds absolutely wonderful. It'll be a trip of a lifetime, no doubt. Look, they're not showing me definitely that there's going to be romance on this, but I certainly know you're going to have a great time. And I think it's going to be opening you up, not just because you're there as a tourist and you're sort of soaking in all the energy and the culture and the food and the atmosphere of the place, but I think it's also on a soul level really important for you. It's almost sort of feels like this is like a past life connection to me, as if you go there and you walk down some of the streets and you think, gee, this feels familiar. It's like I've been here before, yet you know you haven't physically been there in this lifetime, but it sort of gives you sort of a comfort, like somebody putting a nice warm blanket around you on a cold day, that you feel so snuggly and secure and you feel like, you know, I could really live here. I know I've got a life back home, but gee, this really feels great. Look, I think you're going to meet lots of interesting people while you're there. Yes, there's, you know, opportunities to sort of go out and have some fun and, you know, flirt with a few beautiful local men and things like that. But do I think you're going to find the love of your life there? The answer is I don't think so, Andrea. But I think, you know, you're going to have a great time. You're going to have lots of laughter, lots of fun. Yes, there'll be some romance there, but let's put it in the category of holiday romance only. It's not going to go anywhere. But sometimes, you know, we need a little interlude like that, that sort of really is good for our soul. We know that it's not going to go anywhere, but we enjoy it for what it is. And I think that's a good thing. You know, romance to me for you is going to really spark up after you've come back from the trip. It's like you're not going to be home that long and sort of thinking about your wonderful sunny days while you were on that beautiful, fantastic trip and sort of, you know, thinking, longing to go back again. And then I think you're going to meet somebody locally that's going to really sort of sweep you off your feet. And it was sort of like, that was unexpected. I wasn't expecting that, because you sort of feel as if there hasn't been anybody of real great excitement or interest locally that has even turned your head in a long time, let alone fall in love with somebody. But this is somebody that's not long moved to the area. I get him as being very tall, dark-headed, very deep brown eyes too. So, you know, he's got that sort of really exotic sort of look to him, and he's got the most twinkly sort of eyes. I'm an eye person. I look at somebody's eyes and that sort of tells me a lot about their soul. And with this man, I get a really good feeling. You know, he's very honest. He's straight down the line, sometimes a little bit too blunt, but that's okay. You like that. That's not an issue to you. But some people go, oh, gee, he's a bit, you know, rough. He's a bit too truthful, but that's okay. I like him. He's a nice man. Certainly comes with no baggage. He's you know, come out of a long-term relationship about 18 months ago, certainly healed from all that. He made a move to the location where you are, but that was a move that he decided to make. It wasn't anything that was forced. He was looking for a new adventure, a new opportunity. And I think the two of you are going to really sort of come together and really have a wonderful relationship. You've been a long time without what I call true love. Is that correct, Andrea?
Since 2018, yes.
Yeah, well, that's a long time. It's, you know.
That's a long time.
8 years. Yeah, you know, it's not like last week. I mean, you know, a lot of people come out of a relationship and all of a sudden feel they've got to replace it, you know, like next week. You know, they don't give themselves time to heal and grow and work through why the relationship came to a close. It doesn't necessarily mean it was a failure. It just means that, you know, for whatever reasons, the two of you parted company and went different directions. And I think you've learned a lot about yourself in this time, Andrea, that, you know, you now know what you want, but you also know very clearly what you don't want in a relationship. And I think that's the hardest part, is admitting what we really don't want. You know, we can tend to sort of think, oh, it's been a long time. You know, I need, you know, someone in my life. And, you know, sometimes that loneliness sort of allows us to attract somebody that's maybe not the right person for us, because we think, oh, well, that'll do, instead of sort of saying, no, it won't do, because, you know, I work on the score of three strikes and you're out. If three major things come up in the early stages of a relationship that don't sit comfortably with you, then why are you pursuing something that's not right for you? And I think that's the hard thing, but you've already gone through that process, Andrea, where, you know, you're very comfortable in your own skin, that you know what it is that you want, and you're not going to settle for second best. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The other thing that they were sharing with me too, Andrea, are you getting a little bit restless with your job?
Oh, my God, yeah. How'd you know?
Oh, they just kept showing it to me, that sort of like you come back from the trip, you meet the new man, and then sort of like, I can't stand this job any longer. I've got to find a new one. It was sort of like, You keep putting it off because you want to take this trip. And it's like, once that's over and done with, it's like, right, all the gloves are off. I'm ready to move now. I'm ready to change. You know, I've had enough of this. But that's a good thing too. It's not necessarily, is it a wrong thing? It's sort of like, sometimes I think we need that sort of push to make us realize that, okay, we've gone as far as we can go with this company or this job, and it's time for us personally to make a choice, to make a change. And that's what you're doing, is you're making that choice, that change when you come home, to now I'm going to consciously sort of really sort of sit down and look at the type of job that I want. You know, I don't want to sort of just make a change for the sake of change. I want it to be a change that's something I can get my teeth into and hopefully have longevity with. That's what you're aiming for, and that's good. And, you know, you've worked hard to get to this point. And I just feel with the current job, it's like they overlook you all the time. They don't sort of see what you've brought to the table, and that's really disappointing. Yeah. And that's why there's no point in staying there. It wouldn't matter what you did. You could stand on your head, you could do whatever, you still wouldn't get any more recognition or any opportunity. So that's where we're going to leave it, Andrea. Best of luck, and I hope you enjoy your trip and have a great time. We're going to talk with Amila in Stamford in Connecticut. I'm sure, I know I've pronounced your name wrong, but anyway, how can I help you today?
Hi, yes. Thank you. I'm just, it's been very busy season land. I just feel like every day there's something going on. But I was wondering, I am looking for a relationship, and I actually have a speaking opportunity. It's with work. Is it all going to happen at the same time, you think? Or anything you could say about this guy coming in?
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot of change all going to happen around about the same time. I'm just not sure that it's quite as quickly as what you'd like to see it. They're sort of showing me around September, October is when, hang on to your hat, things are changing and changing very, very fast. So, you know, if there's a new job around that time and the new man around that time, it's sort of like everything's sort of all changing in a split second. But that's good. I think you're ready for that too. You're ready for change. And it's interesting because, again, I'm going to say I think you've really done the hard yards on yourself and worked out what it is you exactly want in a relationship and what you don't want. And it's like, you know, I'm not prepared to kiss a lot of toads to get the prince. You know what I mean? I've done all the toad kissing I'm doing. Line me up the princes and then I'll decide which one I want. And that's not being selfish or being silly. It's understanding what you need and what you've decided is right for you. And that's a good thing. That's not being selfish. That's being practical, in my opinion, because, you know, we can attract a lot of different people in our lives, but not all of them are right for us. And why should we invest time with somebody and, you know, they might think you're perfect, but you don't think they're perfect? Well, then we're wasting each other's time, and that's not what I want to see you do.
Yeah.
You've got a man coming in that's not dark-headed, but he's not blonde either. It's in between. It's sort of like a dark blonde, if I can sort of say that, leading towards almost very, very light brown. He's got green to hazily coloured eyes. He's quite a, when he's nervous, he talks a lot. So when you first meet him, it's like you can barely keep up with him. He's going, blah, 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 and you think, geez, I wish he'd slow down a little bit. That's just who he is when he's nervous. When he sort of, you know, calms down a little bit, we talk at a normal sort of pace. I actually think he's very clever with his hands, but I don't think he actually works with his hands like on tools. You know, he might work on a laptop or something, but he's actually quite creative. And I'd like to see him sort of be encouraged to bring more of that in over time, because I don't think the current role, the job that he's in when you first meet him is really where he should be. You know, it pays the bills and yes, he does it well, but it's not really what. You're going to meet three friends, but it's not necessarily like friends trying to matchmake you. It's a group of people that are getting together to celebrate something, and it's sort of like, oh, yeah, bring a friend if you want to sort of thing. You know, it's a very open sort of gathering, but it is in a place that's an outdoor setting. It's nice. It's late afternoon, and that's where you're going to meet him. He's a really, really nice man. And he only decided to go, interestingly enough, at the last minute. One of his friends was pestering him to come, and he kept thinking, oh, I don't know whether I really want to go. You know, I don't really know anybody. And in the end, he couldn't say no to this person. They were that persistent. And, you know, you're not overly keen on going either. So go to everything that you're invited to, whether you want to go or not, because that's where you're going to meet him, and particularly an outdoor gathering. You know, somebody's having a birthday party or something, you know, bring something along, you know, we're all going to have a barbecue or a cookout, and that's, it's that sort of environment.
August or September, you said, what'd you say?
Around September, October. I don't think it's much before that. I'm not saying don't go out, and I'm not saying don't have some fun before then, but that was when it was at its strongest. It was sort of like the weather was starting to cool down a little bit. You know, the season was changing.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where we're going to have to leave it, sweetie. We've come to the end of the show, but I know it's the right relationship for you, and you're going to find a lot of happiness. It's really interesting how that, you know, so many people are still looking for love. You know, it's one of those things that we don't feel complete unless we have a partner by our side. You know, and I know that I've just spoken to these two beautiful, lovely ladies who are very complete in themselves, that are happy to stand on their own two feet and, you know, are waiting for the right relationship. And that's good, because it means that they've sorted out what it is that they're searching for or what they is acceptable to them. And I think if more people took a leaf out of their book, it would be a much easier place to live in. But sometimes loneliness is the thing that dictates that we just allow somebody in for the sake of having a relationship or having somebody close in our lives, because we are so lonely. So there's not necessarily a right or a wrong way to look at love. It's I suppose, a very personal thing and what works for you. So this week I want to leave you with the number one song around the world in 1986, and I know we're going a fair way back, 1986, it's 40 years ago, and it's sort of showing my age, I suppose, but I think everybody that's been watching the show will know this song and be able to sing along to it. It was the one and only Whitney Houston, and in what I believe was the greatest song that she ever sang, which was The Greatest Love of All. And it doesn't matter where you are, you hear that song and you stop and you feel the warmth of that song and the power of that song, of asking her to encourage our children to be the best that they could be, that love is the answer to everything. And I truly do believe that. It was a beautiful song, and it's like an anthem in its own right. And so 1986, around the world, Whitney Houston with the number one song, The Greatest Love of All. So I hope that as you go through this week, that you remember that the greatest love of all does come from within you. And let's make the world a better place. Bye for now.